Of course, the size is identical and all that. That's interesting. Anyway, Michael, well, thank you, bud. I appreciate the info. That's invaluable information. Go ahead, Don. W4BVT.
One more thing.
W4QIN. I have a GE tube manual, and I looked up now the 6386 it's a medium mu remote cutoff twin triode, and the 5670. Let me go back to that 5670. It just says a high frequency 10 triode, and looks like there's quite a bit of difference. It does have the same socket connections, but the amplification factor of the 5670 is 35, whereas the amplification factor of the 6386 is 17. Let's see the mutual conductance. Let's see. Compare the mutual conductance. See the 5670. It's 5,500, and the 6386 is 4,000. That's actually pretty close. Plate resistance, 4,250, and whereas the 5670 is 6,400. But the 5670 is not a remote cutoff. And I think remote cutoff is basically means it's variable mu. That's the way it works. If you, I think the way the grid structure of a variable mu tube is that the there's variable pitch in the grid, where part of the grid is wide spaced, and there's another part of it that's close spaced, and the amplification factor actually varies depending on the grid bias. The gain of the tube is adjustable by adjusting the grid bias. That's the same thing like the 6SK7. Now that might be something in a pinch that would you'd have to rig up something outboard. Would be to use a pair of let's see what's the whatever the I'd have to look up in the tube manual to see, but the equivalent of now there's the variable mu pentode like the that's equivalent of a 6SK7 or 6K7 or 6SK7. I know there's a miniature version too. It's a variable mu pentode. It might be possible to you'd have to it would take a pair of, because I believe, see, the these tubes, the 6386 they're twin triodes. Now there's also a 6385. There's a 6385 that's has the same socket connection as well as the 6386. It looks like that would be one that'd be more likely to be used as a fake 6386 than that other one, because it has the same socket connections, and in fact looks like the 6385 is very similar to the 5670. But in both cases, they call them, it says high frequency 10 twin triodes, so they don't have that variable mu characteristic. It doesn't say remote cutoff, so it probably wouldn't, it would probably work in the stay level. It would probably work, but you wouldn't get the compressing effect, because I think that's what the compressor effect depends on, is that the variable mu characteristic, where you vary the gain of the tube by adjusting the grid bias. It might be possible to make it work if you built a little outboard module and used a pair of and I forget what the which miniature version of, what's the miniature tube version that's of the 6SK7. They use them in a lot of in broadcast radios, especially. So you might be able to use a pair of those and then, connect it up as a pentode and to take advantage of the variable mu characteristic. It might be possible to make it work. Of course, you'd have to get screen voltage to it, and there might be other things that would be different. But if you simply could not find another 6386, and it might be possible to build a little plug-in module that would an adapter where you use a pair of those variable mu pentodes and modify the circuit to use a pair of those in where it would work. Otherwise, you need that remote cutoff characteristic for the thing to actually operate as a as a variable gain amplifier, as the compressor. Anyway, I know I've got one here somewhere. It's just a matter of going through and sorting it out, because I even know what box I put it in, and hopefully it hasn't disappeared. And I don't remember whether the number was etched on the glass or not, or anything like that. But anyway, I'll have a look and see if I can locate it. And something you mentioned, Mike, about running. You said you don't run all that much AM. Well, for voice, that's the only voice mode that I do operate is AM. I don't even own a sideband transmitter. I can receive it on the 75A4, but I don't have anything to transmit sideband with. If I operate phone, it has to be AM. And I occasionally work CW. I haven't even worked much CW in a long time. I've pretty well operated just AM in recent years, or I guess in recent months, because I got the. What was it there? There was some reason that I couldn't work CW for a while. I don't remember what was it. My little electronic relay circuit crapped out, but I fixed that. I finally got that going again. It's a little solid state circuit that cathode keys the tube, so I can use a bug or something. The key only has to handle a few milliamps of current, but it'll actually cathode key, up to, theoretically, I think up to several amps, because I use a TV sweep transistor as the as an electronic relay to cathode key the tube with, and then I use there's a some IC chips that run that, and the IC chip had crapped out, but I was able to find some. I had a box of a bunch of oddball IC chips, and I was able to find a replacement and got that going again, so I can work CW one more time. I don't work a whole lot of CW because it seems that nowadays the majority of CW QSOs, I guess what I would call rubber stamp QSOs, it's just kind of the standard, exchange signal ports, and then they usually tell you what kind of a plastic radio they're running, and then it's 73 and QRZ. It's hard to work a station on CW and actually carry on a real conversation. It's sort of, working CW is kind of a lot like contesting on sideband. The QSOs are largely rubber stamp QSOs and, not real rag chew. It's hard to get a good rag chew QSO on CW anymore. And I kind of lost interest in it just for that reason that, it's hard to find anybody that will rag chew that shares any interest with me. So I don't operate it nearly as much as I used to. Let's see, I turned it back over to Mike. I don't know, Mike, I believe you said you were signing out, so I'll turn it back that way just in case you have any other comments. The audio fools, it's kind of like something that's funny, of course, with the thing with the cubes, but then some of that stuff that you find online that, the stuff like the high-end speaker cables and high-end power cords, like they think that, some of those guys actually play, close to $1,000 for what's supposed to be a high-end power cord for the amplifier. They claim that using the right kind of power cord with the on the amplifier will makes the sound better. And because I don't know what the Romex cable and the house wiring in between the entrance panel and where the outlet is, because that's just plain old Romex cable. That's not any kind of a special wire. But then, that last 6 feet between the 110-volt outlet and the amplifier, suppose that makes a tremendous and astounding difference in the sound. And then the other thing is a speaker cable, where a high-end speaker cable, some of that stuff goes for, it's not unusual to see prices of several thousand dollars for, a couple of speaker cables. And then they have this thing about where the cable has to be broken in. If you just get a virgin copper wire cable, then it doesn't quite sound. You don't get the improvement in sound until you put it in the amplifier and break it in. So there's a break-in period to get the full benefits of the high-end audio cables. Or unless you spend a few hundred bucks for a special cable breaker in, or it's like a little solid state thing that I guess it sends current through the tube, and supposedly if you have one of those things, you can break your cables in instantly. You don't have to use them for so many hours before the cables break in. So what a crock. I guess it's, what is it that there's a what did P.T. Barnum say, that there's a sucker born every minute? I think that's right. But yeah, you have to use high-end audio cables and power cords for $1,000 a piece, but they're not any good, or you don't get the full benefit from them until you break them in. So you spend some extra money, you can buy a cable breaker in, or so you can break in your new cable and use it right away. Anyway, Mike, I don't know if you've heard any of that nonsense or not, but that's the same people that have driven up the prices of a lot of the transmitting tubes, so that people that have legitimate uses for them in a radio transmitter can't afford them. Mike, I don't know, like I said, I don't know if you're still in there or not, but just in case, I just wonder if you might have any comment on the audio foolery, with the high-end cables. WB0SND, W4BBT, this is K4KYV.
Okay, I could go on and on and on and on about those people, Don. There's some more ridiculous things. And not only do they spend $1,000 for a line cord, they actually have, this is the one that put me on the floor laughing, they actually have line cords with little slider things on them, and they claim thing I saw that just floored me is they'll pay over $1,000 for a 0.1 microfarad 600 volt capacitor, you know, hand wound foil capacitor and oxygen free, and they call me up and they want to know. What kind of tube I can put in that will make the sound rich. And then they use all these colorful words to describe the audio. I'm like, I don't know. All these other tube dealers, they'll tell them, they'll make up some garbage and tell them not. And I just tell them straight up, I don't know. You can't say put an RCA 12AX7 in a particular piece of audio gear and make the audio gear sound a certain way. It just doesn't work that way, and they just know what they want to hear. The worst is there was this audio fool from Pennsylvania that had a repair shop, Hot Glass Audio. Never heard of them. One day, a few years ago, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, the doorbell rings, and I open the door, and they hand me this big envelope, and I open it up. I find out I'm being sued by this idiot, and he claimed that he got mercury poisoning from vacuum tubes he was working with in his audio gear, and I'm thinking, you moron idiot. He thought the shiny stuff inside a 12AX7 or a 16Q5 or whatever was mercury. Of course, we both all know that it's not mercury. It's barium and strontium carbonate and all kinds of other nasty stuff, but it ain't mercury. And, of course, a vacuum tube wouldn't be a vacuum tube with mercury in it because of the vapor pressure of mercury. So they actually ended up reformulating the lawsuit and changing the types of tubes that he claimed he got mercury poisoning from. And there were about 20 of us in a lawsuit from manufacturers, eBay, Antique Electronic Supply, a bunch of them, Surplus Sales in Nebraska, and a bunch of other. And the really disgusting thing about the whole thing was that I never sold the guy anything. I had records going back to 1994. Nothing. And in discovery, all he submitted was a whole big stack of credit card statements, which, of course, all a credit card statement tells you is that you bought X number of dollars from, XYZ vendor. It doesn't tell you what you bought. You know, there were credit card statements saying you bought, $97 from Antique Electronic Supply. Of course, that could have been capacitors or books or speakers or any number of other things. So he had nothing at all. And then he had no credit card statements with my name on them. So how they were able to name me in the lawsuit, I still have to go after this guy, the lawyer. I got really lucky. I had a personal liability umbrella, and they provided me with counsel. So I didn't have to end up putting up any money out of my pocket. But a couple other audio dealers I know they cost them like $30,000 to defend themselves for this. They were in the same boat. They never sold them anything. So, these audio people, not only are they crazy, but they're dangerous. I guess that's my point. So, there's an interesting story for you. Maybe you haven't heard about the lawsuit. talked about quite a bit a couple of years ago. I think they settled out of court or something. I think it ended up that only the manufacturers were left in it. He was suing CBS. You know, CBS hadn't made a vacuum tube since 1956. And Raytheon and all kinds of well, you can tell that I'm kind of still apoplectic about it. So, that's my story on these crazy audio nutcases. I could go on and on and on. I make a lot of money off of them. They're the bane of my existence. They make me want to quit the business. I'll tell you that right now. So, there's my rant. W4BBT, WB0SMD.
Yeah. I know your pain. I don't know if you know this. You do realize that I designed a very, 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 very freaking expensive audiophile amplifier. Now, I'm not an audiophile, but you know, somebody pays you to design something. Were you aware of that? So don't hate me.
No, and more power to you. I mean, if I had what it took to do that and make money off these people, I'd sure do it.
Yeah. Well, I have been in the business and sort of still am type thing, but the ridiculous nature is, it really is something. It really is. I mean, the things these guys believe, they set themselves up for a fleecing, and then when you actually give them something that is solid, they don't believe it. They would rather believe. And by the way, the most expensive power cord that I found out there was $6,000. $6,000. You know, you got aluminum wire running to your service to your house. Romex through the walls. Well, like Don said, that last 6 feet of cable, you know, that's what really matters. And that's what you're going to spend $6,000 on. And so, here I designed these big audio amps, and they're supposed to be going for $30,000 or $40,000 or something after they get done. And I ended up getting messed over a bit on it and all that, but you know, then the guys ended up selling them for $150 and all this kind of stuff. Big 833 jobbies and all that. And, absolutely insane. I've got a whole lot of designs. I'm kind of waiting for the market to pop back up, meet the right people, this kind of thing. You know the story. But, at age, I'm 37. I mean, I think when I was 31 or 2, there was only one of a couple people to have ever designed anything around that the 833s. But I've done it. I've got some, and they do sound good. I've got my own here, and a few of my own other designs and stuff of them, and various things, and blah, blah, blah. Even built a guitar amp out of one. That's a wild-sounding thing. I'm not screaming something. It's weird. But, yeah, $6,000 for a power cable. Yeah, that's right. It's totally nuts. And then, you know, here I go looking for a little tube to make my gate stay level play. And, yeah, that's one reason I'm keeping some of this stuff I've got is some of the, after fooling with them, I mean, some of it was tempting, but no. There's a Western Electric compressor sitting here in front of me in a rack that I'll bet you there. If there's another one in this country, there's probably not but one more of them. And there's no telling. There's just no telling what that would, you know, I just don't know. The thing is, you get rid of it, it's going out there. And, no, I just can't stand for it. RCA console, same thing. Can't stand for it. In a state level, I was tempted on that one because I didn't figure it was going to sound as good as it does. But after I've gotten to use it, I have to admit, I'm quite impressed with it. It's got a very very interesting quality about it. I mean, other things can do about the same thing too, though, really. You know, but it was here and got to play with it. But yeah. Well, anyway, let me get it to Don right quick. Mike, I feel your pain. I definitely feel your pain. I don't think I've got quite as much a headache about it as you do, being a tube supplier like that. And that guy doing suing you over tubes, I mean, that's just the height of stupidity right there. And it's just retarded behavior. Absolutely. And the speaker that I'm listening to you guys on, I saw just the speaker cone. Unknown one of the tweeter, the coaxial tweeters, an RCA, the LC1, LS1 combo, the box and the speaker, 15-inch with the tweeter in the middle of it. And just the speaker, $1,000. $1,000. I said, what are you talking about? I mean, my God, man. I mean, what in the world? I mean, I carried this thing out of a broadcast studio, you know, it was in a junk room. Along with the rest of it, you know? It's just insane. Anyway, K4KYV from W4BVT.
This is K4KYV. Mike, what was that? Because you were cracking up. I didn't quite catch that. I couldn't understand it. What were you talking about when you said, you know, we were talking about the power cords, and you said that, that to top it all, there was something else. I think it had to do with power cords. But then you cracked up laughing, and I didn't quite understand what it was. Could you go through that again?
I think it was a braking station, and I'll turn it to him. Or after I give this quick rundown. I've seen him advertised. I heard somebody talk about him. I don't know if they're familiar with him. It's some kind of power cord where they put some kind of sliding device, I don't know, a magnet, a ferrite cord or something on it, and they claim that you can tune the power cord. I don't know what you're tuning it to, but they claim you can tune it. And it makes no sense at all. I don't get any of it, really. And, wow, Grant, power audio amplifier with 833s, that's pretty crazy. The braking station, I think it was a 2. This is WB0SND, and then you turn it to Don K4KYV.
Yeah, I'm hearing you, WA3QGD in the group, K4KYV. And you're coming in pretty well tonight. I think the last time we tried to talk, I wasn't receiving you very well. You seem like you're coming in quite well tonight. I think there's practically zero static on the band. That's one thing that helps. And okay, Mike, on the... Well, have you heard... I'm sure you've probably heard this. I think one of the funniest things... Have you heard the thing about the wooden knobs that supposedly you could put wooden knobs on the amplifier and that they're supposed to somehow be acoustically resonant and that gives you better quality audio? You know, I guess it would have to be a vintage amplifier with the old-fashioned... of volume control pots that had the quarter-inch shaft and a knob, and then anyway, they claimed that you could replace the stock knobs with these special wooden knobs that sell for like $250 a knob, and that's supposed to improve the audio. Have you heard of that one? Go ahead.
Sorry, Don. You caught me in the back of the basement. No, I haven't heard of that one. That's a new one on me. I try not to follow it. It's
I have some vintage audio gear, some Marantz stuff and some English Tannoy speakers. I like a lot, you know, vintage stuff. I actually bought it to resell, and I ended up liking it so much I kept it. I do not consider it my hobby. And the two station, I'm not really copying you very well. I don't know if you hear me. Name is Mike, and the call is WB0SND. And I'm located about 50 miles south of St. Louis. Go ahead, Don.
That was somebody sent me an email or sent me a link. And sure enough, I looked up, and sure enough, you know, that somebody was actually selling. You know, it wasn't just one outfit; there were several that were selling. You know, they would actually turn out these control knobs on a lathe, and it's supposed to be made out of some kind of special wood. Now, what they were claiming was that the audio vibrations in the room from the audio will affect the audio quality, because the audio vibrations will cause the turning shaft on the pot to vibrate, and that'll affect the audio. So these special wooden knobs are supposed to have some kind of acoustical damping, so that the audio in the room wouldn't cause the shaft to vibrate and modulate the audio through the amplifier. You know, some bogus crap like that, and they were selling those knobs, you know, for some $150 or $250 a piece, or something like that. You know, all it was just a little knob that somebody turned out on a lathe, out of hardwood, and they put a metal insert with a set screw in it, replacing the stock control knob on the amplifier with those special wooden knobs was supposed to make a big difference. And it's always sound like an astounding difference in the sound. And they have all these vague terms like the warmness of the audio or the fullness of the audio, and all that audio fool terminology that what does it mean? Nobody's even defined what do you mean by warm audio versus full audio. Whatever you would want it to mean. So it's totally totally meaningless. But it's kind of thing that you can laugh about. But yet the fact that those idiots have driven up the prices of good tubes that we need for radio transmitters, and whether it's a ham or a broadcaster, or what, anybody that has a legitimate use for certain tubes for radio equipment, they can't afford it because these idiots have driven the price to ridiculous heights, over all this bogus crap. That's what gets me about it. And I don't know. I don't know if I would pay a lawyer $30,000 to defend me. If somebody, somebody tried to sue me over something that I hadn't even sold them, I think I would just reply and say, well, send me the proof that I ever sold you anything, or otherwise get lost. I don't think I would spend any $30,000 on a lawyer. I think that's a racket in itself to pay a big bunch of money to a lawyer to defend yourself for something that you never even sold to start with. That's like I heard a story once. There was some woman out somewhere out west, actually, looked up. I don't know if she looked up in the phone book or what, but just randomly picked somebody, halfway across the country in another state that she'd never even heard of. She just got the name and then tried to name them in a paternity suit. And the person had never even heard of this lady, and I don't think it had even been in the state where she lives, but she tried to get some money out of somebody by filing a paternity fraternity suit against a total stranger that she'd never laid eyes on. You know, people pull anything trying to rip somebody else off. I don't think Bill made much of a transmission. Go ahead, and that's Bill, WA3QGD, is out in Washington State. So, Mike, I don't know if you are able to hear him or not. So, Bill, why don't you go ahead and pick it up and then turn it to Grant. So, WA3QGD and the group, K4KYV.
I'm not getting you hardly at all tonight. Not quite yet, anyway. I'm switching around the receivers and stuff, and I don't know if you can hear me as low as the signal was that time. You may not be copying me, or hardly. Mike, yeah, you have to keep in mind, I like to design stuff, I like to build stuff. You know, and I'll build an amplifier out of a 4CX5000 if you pay me to do it. But, in the process, I have kept enough stuff around to play with a 833. I haven't played with that amp in a long time, you know, but there's several other designs and stuff just in case, you know. Just in case. Some stuff sitting around. Anybody else decide they want to spend stupid amounts of money to bring stuff like that to fruition and try their hand out at it, and there it is. One of those things. I still sell a few things, audiophile world, all of it overseas, every bit of it. Design and manufacture some preamps and some small amps and stuff like that. And, yeah, not my favorite one to use is too truthful for most of them. I think I might have to come up with something with a little more BS involved to actually have the right ring to it. You know, what was it? Exact reproduction of the soundstage. Yeah, it was one of my favorites. It doesn't quite have enough BS to it. You know, you need to have some sort of ultraphonic confabulation, that reverberates against the knob or something. That sounded more pornographic than audiophile. But there's a reason there's file behind that, you know. Yeah, so... yeah. This transmitter here is all my own design. I like building stuff. That's just me. I find there's not a lot of transmitters and or equipment that I would really like as is. There's a few of the old stuff. Yeah, get it going. But even at, like a Gates, the Gates 1Ts and stuff like that, I didn't think it was a big enough challenge. I've done several of those. I wanted to build my own thing from the ground up. And boy, this one here's gone through a lot of different stages. But I guess there's tubes in here that audiophiles would go nuts for. It's a, there's a pair of RCAs, 845s, you're listening to right now as the audio driver. It's a 6J7 to a 6550, an ultralinear, and then a pair of 845s push-pull and a pair of 833s push-pull. Modulating a 4-1000A, and you just turned way back, piles of headroom, and yeah, you know, it can, there's a whole lot more headroom than what I'm using out of it, I can assure you that. I like it and everything, but the $6,000 power cords and paying $100,000 for things and all that, now yeah, so let somebody else do it. I'll build it though. I'll build it, sure. Like I said, I'll build you an amp out of anything. You come up with it. Hand me a tube. I'll get there. No problems whatsoever with that. I love designing weird things. Yeah. I'm not sure it's got a lot of future, though. I really don't think it does. I think it's probably dying in a lot of ways. Some of it is, anyway. Some of it's going to be just replaced. In a way, sort of. Anyhow, there's always going to be a sucker boy every day on it. My problem's always been too honest. Exact reproduction of the soundstage, you know, that was pretty much the best BS I could come up with, so I'm obviously not a marketing genius or anything. I mean, that's just that just doesn't have that, you know, BS ring to it. It would have to have some sort of a phonic and you know, some sort of oozy characteristic that could describe the perverted nature of the improvement and how it. You know, it would give constant and everlasting Viagra results. And maybe that one would just come out and say that. Maybe that would work. I think I'd probably leave the marketing stuff to somebody else. I think I just proved that. Well, Mike, if you're still there, go ahead and get it to Don. If not, Don, take it away. W4BVT.
W4BVT in a group WB0SND. Very good. Well, all I can say is Roger all that. And sounds really good. I'm listening, but I'm working in the back part of the basement trying to get things organized and straightened up. In fact, I'm gonna go ahead and sign on this one and actually throw all the switches because I gotta go to bed, and I try to get up in the morning and get on with this group called the MoCamNet. And before that, they have two or three guys like to get on CW and talk a bit, and that's fun on 3625 in the morning. It's a little early for Mike. I'm not there that often, but I try to be. And, Don, forgot to comment on what you said about CW. Yeah, I agree with you to a point, but there's still a lot of guys out there that will wreck you on CW. It tends to be, if you go a little higher, like around 7050, rather than the extra band, or even around 7027 or 8, even then, there's still a lot of guys that'll wreck you if you're on CW. I know there's a lot of hello goodbyes, particularly with, what aggravates me is the DX. I like the DX, but I do get little miffed with the 599 and that kind of stuff. That's the whole contact, you know. I don't have a whole lot of interest in that. So, but you can find quite a few CW rag shoes, I think. 80 meters is a good place to rag shoe on CW. If you ever want to drop down to CW one evening or something, and when I'm in here, I'd be glad to. That's my favorite mode. But I'm not a CW snob, obviously, because here I am yakking in the microphone. I don't do very much soft bucket, but I do a little bit of that, too. My favorite mode, CW. I'm not really very interested in the digital modes. And, a lot of the guys in these digital modes, they load up their special memories in their computer, and they make a contract and put it on, and it gives them all the information about their station and the FT, the weather, and there's hardly any interaction. I don't really see much fun in that. So, anyway, 73s, guys. Nice talking to you. I hope to be in here a little more often. I hope to see you guys again real soon. I'm going to turn it to you guys just because I'm just not copying the other station. I forgot what his name was. Sorry about that, but I just can barely tell you in there. So I'm going to turn it to Don, and then he can pass it back on around. K4KYV, WB0SND.
K4KYV, right back.
As far as the CW, I know I keep hearing that there's supposed to be a vintage CW net on 80 meters somewhere like 3560 that, where people that use, classic equipment and homebrew rigs and stuff like that, but I've never heard them on. I've never been able to find them. And it's something that... that's another one of my pet peeves is this, these bogus 5.9 or 5.99 signal reports where you really have to strain and ask for a repeat about 10 times to get the call sign, and then once you get the call sign and say, okay, you're 5.9. To me, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. In fact, I've, just for the hell of it, a few times... when there's been a contest on, I've got in on some of these contests and actually work a few stations in the contest, but give honest signal reports. I think that kind of freaks them out because they expect everybody to get give them a 599. I'd give them something like a 579 or a 469 something with signal reports. And I've seen some that actually didn't know what to do with it. Because they didn't get a 599 report. And as far as the digital stuff, now this is something to me is about as bogus as the audio foolery. I just read something about that. There was a link that I saw to it. I think it was a thread on QRZ.com about it because there's this digital program that. That a lot of guys use for digital slow scan TV, and it's called EasyPal. The first time I heard EasyPal, it sounded to me like, the first thing I thought of, well, that must be the title of some gay pornography magazine, EasyPal. But it turns out it was this digital slow scan TV program, and as it turns out, according to this. This website I just assumed that it was some kind of a slow scan TV where they instead of the analog signal that they sent a digital they sent the picture digitally, but as it turns out it doesn't work that way. That the only thing that they transmit digitally is a link to the internet, and then then they download the picture off the internet, off the computer. The picture doesn't even go by radio. It's you know, it's on some internet site, and then when they send the digital stuff over the air, all that is sending a link on the computer to download the picture off the internet. And I thought, well, you know, that what could be more bogus than that? And you know, when I saw that thread on QRZ.com, I said, well, you know, they can't be serious. But then there were a couple of links, and sure enough, that's the way it works. That they don't send the actual digital image over the radio. They just send a link to the computer, and it downloads the image off the internet. So, you know, if you don't have an internet connection, that the EasyPal crap won't even work. Anyway, well, 73 to you, Mike, and I remember now, I believe our previous QSO, whenever it was, a year or so ago, I believe, I remember we got into it then. You told me about this bogus lawsuit about the mercury in the tubes. Because you know, I remember that as soon as you mentioned it, then suddenly, you know, I recall that we did have that that conversation back a year or so ago. Anyway, 73 for now. Maybe we'll catch you on another time. And yeah, I occasionally work a little bit of CW, you know, 4080 or 160. And but like I said, I just haven't worked a whole lot of it lately. That every now and again. You know, you can get into a real honest-to-God QSO, but so many of them, though, it's just exchange 599 signal reports and name QTH, and you know, and then once all that's, and also the model number of the transceiver, you know, because you know, I find that that nowadays. To find somebody running a homebrew rig on CW is probably just as rare as finding somebody running a homebrew rig on sideband. So that's seemed like that 90% of the QSOs on CW, you know, you exchange signal reports and name QTH, and then whatever the model number of the plastic radio is, and then 73 QRZ for the next contact. And I think a lot of the guys that don't even, you know, probably can't really copy CW, you know, except, you know, they have got it down pat, getting call signs and signal reports and stuff like that. But if you try just to have a general conversation, they probably don't copy CW well enough to carry on the conversation. Because you know, it's easy to get the protocol. You know, when you make one of these hello goodbye contacts, you know, to figure out to send and receive, you know that standard information. But then once you deviate from that, and you know, try to go into some you know, converse about something, I'm sure that a lot of the guys that supposedly work CW can't copy it well enough that once you deviate past the, you know, the pro forma or rubber stamp QSO, that they're totally lost trying to copy the CW. Anyway, 73 to you, Mike. I'm going to do the same thing. I think I'm going to go ahead and take out of here too, because I see it's past midnight. I need to run in the house and check on the fire and the wood stove, and I got a couple things I want to do before I call it night. So, and Grant, I hope your finger gets all right, and I hope that doesn't delay your being able to. Get the new wire up the antenna, you know, if you get some warm weather, because according to the weather report here, we're supposed to, I think that Saturday is supposed to be up in the 50s, so, you know, we're supposed to get a warming spell after the next couple of days, so, hope that your finger doesn't prevent you from being able to go ahead with the project whenever it gets warm enough to do it. Anyway, I'll turn it back out to Bill. I'm going to listen out, but I'm going to go ahead and sign. And So WA3QGD to take it, and W4BVT, this is K4KYV.
Right, quick, Don. So if I can't find the rectifiers, you think I got something else that would suffice for the 6386?
Well, I'm sure you do. If I can find the thing, I'll send it to you. And, you know, if you know, if you can come up with those rectifiers, or if not, I'm sure there's something sooner or later. So don't worry about it. But I would appreciate it if you could, you know, if you try to get those. But if not, you know, I'm sure there's something else. Because I'm not using the thing here, and because I got rid of the piece of equipment that I got it as a spare for, so you know, it's here. You know, just a matter of me finding it. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just not. You know, I don't know how it's going to go. I'm going to do my best. Now, you can be assured of that. I'm going to try to clean out every tube that the guy's got in there. He's not using, and every piece of the of processing that is not in use. 100%. Absolute. Every dang bit of it I can get a hold of, for sure. But you know, just in case, I would really appreciate it if you look for that thing. So yeah. Anyway, yeah. Thank you. By the way, I didn't make a change to the audio. It's a lot more density and everything. And about it, I don't know if you noticed that. It's bad band conditions, but I did that. Make what I think is an improvement, but I certainly appreciate it, and I get you something right out as soon as I possibly can for that, for the other two. And yeah, I think the finger might slow me down for a day or two, but if it continues to heal at the rate it's going, I should be all right. But it's I'm not gonna lie to you, it's a bad one. Anyway, take care of the W4BVT. Man, Bill. WA3QGD, and make a try at it, but I got to head out too, I guess. I noticed the temperature inside is starting to drop just a little bit, so I guess it's time to stock the wood stove. But I couldn't hear you before. I don't know if you're even hearing me. Anyway, WA3QGD from W4BVT for one more. It's really light. Certainly is really, really light there, Bill. Well, good to hear you anyway, man. And we'll catch you later on, and maybe a different night. Maybe it'll be a little better too. It's good to hear you. Nevertheless, what I am hearing of you, I don't think propagation's as good as it has been on a few of the other nights. I've seen even on Dawn where the band was swapping around very heavily. I could go from transmit antenna over to the beverage and beverage back to transmit, and you know, just it was really really swapping around quite a bit. A lot of rapid QSB and stuff, so not the best path, but that's unfortunate. And it's been a little while since since I talked to you. Hope you're doing all right out there, man. And we'll catch you later on. So take care, Bill. Hope everything's going your way out there, man. It's a WA3QGD from W4BVT. 73, Bill. Somebody throwing a carrier after we sent. And in order to interfere with anybody, you have to throw your carrier while somebody's trying to talk. Study up on how to interfere with people. W4BVT.
W4BVT from WA1H, Yellar.
All right, Timmy, I'll get ready to head out and check the wood stove, but I heard you in there. What's happening, man? Hope I'm making it up there. W4BVT.
Here's Strapman. Go check your woodaline stove. I'll be in here in about 5 to 10. I woke up a little bit ago and want to get a hot drink rolling along, and I'll see you back here in a little bit. This is WA1H YLR.
All right, man. Sounds like a plan to me. W4BVT.